You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
How's everyone going this morning? Isn't it so good to be able to gather for Christmas? Now, if you came unaware this morning is our Christmas service. And I think it's imperative for today being our Christmas service to emphasize loud and clear that today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of joyful celebration, of hope, the celebration of peace, celebration of new life, and ultimately because of Christmas, the celebration of eternal life. Amen. This is our joy. This is what we have in our hearts. And so we put it out there today, for unto us a child is born. You know, the new life has come, making a way for each of us, making a way for all humanity to know God personally. It's the gift of Christmas. Now, Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you ever paused? We've heard this scripture, and we love the scripture because it prophesies like nearly 700 years before Jesus even arrived. It prophesies that Jesus is coming. But you have ever paused to look at it and go, each of these four things here, this is the gift that God is prophesying for all humanity, that we will have a wonderful counselor, that a mighty God will walk amongst us and be present in our hearts after he departs, that we have an everlasting Father in Christ Jesus, and ultimately the Prince of Peace. Who loves a little bit of peace in their life? Who loves the Prince of Peace in their life? I'll take the Prince of Peace any day of the week. You know, it's been over 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus Christ. And I put it to you like this morning. The groups of believers have gathered to remember Christ in various ways for somewhere between 1600 and 1700 years, similar to the ways that we're gathering at the moment. See, but the birth of Christ was prophesied by Isaiah nearly 2,700 years ago. It's absolutely amazing that God loves his creation so much. That's right, you, his creation, so much that he wanted to let us know what was going to happen even before it happened. So what we gather to celebrate, it's not new. But by no means is it old and irrelevant. Sometimes we can go through the motions of Christmas. Let's pause and arrest that for a moment. It may be old, but it's not irrelevant. It's as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago. It's as relevant as the prophecy 2,700 years ago. See, indeed, we join today, or in these coming days, with around 2.5 billion people on planet Earth to celebrate the arrival of Christ. Hello. 2.5 billion, but over 2.5 billion people will celebrate the arrival of Christ. And there are billions who have come before us who have celebrated in the way that we are this week. Celebrating God's good grace, celebrating God's goodwill and his heart towards all humanity. You know, it's on days like today when we hear John 3:16 that it just hits a little bit different, amen. John 3:16, for God loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It just means a little bit more, doesn't it? We celebrate the fact that God sent Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Oh, let it stir in your spirit. Let's snap the tiredness off this morning. The King of Kings has come. Amen. See, the reality that God was so committed to saving his creation that he sacrificed not only what was dear to him, but a sacrifice that no human could ever make. Humans have sacrificed for generations and generations and generations to try and be close to God and be without sin. But only God could break that once and for all. Only the creator of the universe could not just make our sin and brokenness go away, but leave us in a place where we're forgiven, set free, that sin is eradicated from our lives of those who choose to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Amen. Is that your gift that you're carrying today? See, the way that God chose to outwork his plan was absolutely wild. When you stand back and you kind of like observe it, it's like, this is just wild. Who would have come up with this? Just God. Just God. You know, he could have clicked his fingers. It's like, everyone's forgiven, free, whole, restored, back to the Garden of Eden days. He could have blinked his eyes. He could have uttered a word in the same way that he spoke creation into being. But instead, he chooses to sacrifice something that matters. I put it to us today that sacrificing things that matter are important. They can have amazing outcomes. Why did he do this? To fulfill what had been prophesied through Isaiah. The story goes a little bit something like this. Luke 1:30 says this, "But the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" How does his kingdom never end? Because it lives in us. We are part of the kingdom, and it never ends. It started with Jesus, but it never ends. See, this is the beginning of everything changing. Everything changes at this moment. You know, the story goes on, and Joseph and Mary are traveling back to Bethlehem, and on their arrival, Mary gives birth to baby Jesus, and the world stops to take notice as God says to the world, "I've got this. I've got this. You used to have to go about it and doing it your own way and coming to me and sacrificing, doing all these things, but no, I've got this. Let me take care of this." See, born in a stable, an underestimated arrival. Anyone here born in a stable? No one? I was going to say, like, if you've got something in common with Jesus. See, instead of telling the richest people of the land of the arrival of Jesus, instead of telling the governors, instead of telling those of stature, Jesus is announced to shepherds. Announced to shepherds. You know, if you go back through history and do some searching at that time, they were probably young people, probably even just young boys and girls, just shepherds. They would have been looked after by some adults, but just, and he also announces it to the wise men, the magi. See, these were most likely foreigners from the east. But it didn't take long for the news to spread. Matthew 2 says this, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we've come to worship him.'" The attention of the government, the representatives of the occupying Rome, and all people at that moment in time turned to Jesus. It got the attention of the world. See, the wise men and the shepherds, it says this in Matthew 2:11, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to honor and worship the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. I don't know about you today, but I'm with the wise men. I'm with the wise men today. What do I mean by that? May our hearts and our posture be of a people who fall on their knees and worship him. We can't do it on our own. We don't have it all together. It's because of him. It's because of God's gift. It's because of Jesus. See, what happened on this day when Christ was born? The Word became flesh. You may have heard this scripture before. The word became flesh. It says this in John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus. And then in John 1:14, it says this, the Word, Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, he arrived and he changed the narrative. He completely flipped the script. No longer God and man separated, but God came to walk amongst us. He quite literally became one of us. Became one of us. Colossians 2 verse 9 says this, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In another version it says it like this, because you read the first one, it's like, okay, I kind of like sort of get it. But this version, the reader's version, God's whole nature is living in Christ in human form. God's whole nature. His character, his personality, his holiness, every facet of God came to walk amongst us living in human form. See, we celebrate the promise, the hope, the birth. We're reminded that God sent his Son, yes, to be Savior of the world. And in that, we're reminded that of God's perfection, his holiness, his character, his glory, his godliness lived amongst us in human form and now lives in us. God's character, God's he still walks amongst us in each of us, amen. He became one of us. He became one of us to pave the way for forgiveness of all sins eternally. All humanity, every single person on planet Earth has the opportunity to be known and forgiven once and for all. So in light of this, this Christmas, may we all be reminded. We're reminded that the same character of godliness that walked amongst us, we are now called to walk with also. We don't see him up on a pedestal and separated from us. No, he walks in us and we're now called to walk with the same godliness, the same character, amen. See, the humility that Christ walked in is now ours to emulate. Maybe that's a simpler way to put it. Same character, same holiness, same glory, same deity that God walked in is now ours to walk in and emulate also. Just as we come towards the end this morning, it says this in Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is the gift of his birth. This is the gift of his birth, that God had a plan and Jesus outworked it. Aren't you so thankful that Jesus outworked the plan? But it's also for us to reciprocate the plan. We need to accept Christ and acknowledge him as Savior, Lord of our lives. But then it's up to us to do something with it, amen. It's up to us to do something with it. If you're wondering why Christmas, why do we do Christmas? Why the big fuss? Why do we pause to celebrate? Why does the pastor lean in so hard to sharing the good news of Jesus and the gospel and the salvation through confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior? Why the emphasis on repenting and turning from your old life? It goes a little bit something like this, Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. This is why we lean into it, church. This is why Christmas. The birth of Jesus made way for, you with me this morning? The birth of Jesus made way for all people to be known as sons and daughters of God. This is why we lean in so hard to it. It's not just about attending church. It's not just about attending a service. It's not just about being part of a small group. All those things are wonderful outpourings of being known as sons and daughters of God, made possible through Jesus. See, everything relied on this moment. Everything is connected to God's Son, making a way for us to be sons and daughters. I'm going to read this passage from Galatians. It says, what I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. It means the spiritual powers and principalities that are in this world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Come on. Let's lean into Christmas just a little bit harder this year. You are made sons and daughters of the Most High God, adopted as his own son because he sent his son. Band, if you can come this morning. He has also made you an heir. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. What does that mean? It means that when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the old life is gone. Your sins are blotted out, forgotten forever. No longer have to carry shame, no longer have to carry condemnation, but you're set free, loved, known, adopted as a son and daughter of the Most High God. I think that's something worth celebrating, and it's a gift available to each and every single one of us. You know, maybe I've done so many things in my life. Even this week, I've done bad things. How can God even want to know me? Everything in his word, everything in Jesus says that you are worthy when you come through Jesus Christ to know God. Everything in the Bible says. Was it a really, really bad thing? I'm sure it was. God's bigger than that. Nothing's bigger than the name of Jesus. Nothing's bigger than the name of Jesus. How do we accept Jesus? Well, it's as simple as confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him on the third day. Why did he do that? For the forgiveness of our sin, to restore us back to God so that we may have eternal life with him. It's as simple as praying a prayer and choosing to follow Jesus, learning his ways, becoming more like him, learning to walk in peace, humility, love, and learning his joy. It's available to all of us because of the birth of Jesus. And it leads into our Easter, but it started at the birth of Jesus. And so I wanted to, just as we're going to come to the end and we're going to celebrate and joy this morning, but if everyone could just bow their heads and close their eyes for just a moment. Because I wanted to make this opportunity available for everybody who's in the room, for those of you who are watching online, to know Jesus Christ personally, to come into a relationship with the one true God, to no longer have sin as a companion, but have Jesus as your companion, that he may dwell in your hearts, the glorious gift that God has for you. You know, maybe you've never actually said a prayer to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you've done it once, but you were just off doing your own thing. It's okay. God the Father is, he's like, come on home. Come home. I'm welcoming you home. You don't have to do this by yourself anymore. And so just with our eyes closed this morning, if that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to that. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up and put it back down. Say, yep, that's me. I want to know Jesus personally. I want my sin forgiven. I want eternal life. I'm going to walk with Jesus all the days of my life. So on the count of three, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up. As soon as you put it up, you can put it back down. One, two, three. If that's you, just pop your hand up quickly this morning. Say, yeah, I want to know salvation. I want to know Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want my life walking with God to start now. I don't want to be separated from him any longer. Anyone this morning, say, yeah, that's where I'm at. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? So I just need to either for the first time or I just need to make myself right with him. And anyone else? So yeah, that's me. Holy Spirit, if you're watching online this morning, this is for you as well. Don't let this moment pass you by. Let salvation come to your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Just with our eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. And it's a prayer of salvation. And church, if you've prayed this prayer before, can you join in and pray this prayer nice and loud? If you haven't prayed this prayer before and it's like you didn't put your hand up, I'm not really worried about your hand. I'm worried about your heart this morning. If you didn't put your hand up, that's okay. Pray the prayer. Pray the prayer of salvation. Whether it's for the first time, or whether you just need to get yourself back where you need to be with God. Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised him on the third day. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you. I surrender my life to you, and from this day on, I choose to follow you. Thank you that I'm known, loved, and adopted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.